actually weird.
It's a funny rig.
I don't know if it's beyond funny, my little floating woolen sausages.
It's for your protection.
I think it's working.
I spit a lot when I talk.
It'll
keep you dry.
Well, at least you're using your sister's sock.
Yeah, exactly. That's nice.
This is honestly, hands down, the worst. This is hands down the worst setup I've ever done. So I've got like, because my cradle for this microphone is broken. It's missing like a screw, and then the thing that screws into the end of the mic. So that's missing. And now I've got this microphone dangling. It's like dangling down.
Oh, by like a string, and then
I'm just gonna try sides at all that shit.
Yeah, nice. And then just side eye me.
Yeah, so it's just hanging down, and then I've got my woolen sock over it, so it looks like this grey woolen meat puppet. This phallic looking dangly thing.
It's slightly phallic. It's very endearing.
So bad.
Right next to your mouth.
It's so bad. Yeah. I've never done.
Like grey matter.
Moving around as well.
Yeah, it's dangling in the wind.
Moving around as I like. We're gonna get a fucking stupid shot of this shit. Look at this. Just so that everyone fucking knows.
Yeah.
Like the dangly meat sausage. Yeah, and that's it. This is it. We've been recording the whole time.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
So welcome, Lenny.
Thank you for having me.
That's all right. I really wanted to have you on because I think you're a pretty super interesting cat. But so what have you been – so I guess a good place to start is sort of what you've kind of been up to, because you've been up to something pretty interesting with relation to, I think, the whole – there's quite a big topic at the moment with like vaping and cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And your field that you're kind of focusing on is predominantly kids, teenagers, high school, that sort of era. I'm sure there's crossover into health effects and stuff like that for adults, but sort of why don't you just sort of give us a run through what you've been up to?
Yeah, well, most recently I was down in Sydney actually talking to parents and teachers rather than students about just broad education, and then getting quite in depth about the whole field of vaping, because a lot of parents just aren't cognizant of it at all. They understand it is an issue, but a lot of parents don't really want to go there or remain ignorant, because there's no effective avenue for them to go and learn about it. I mean, a lot of kids aren't going to be there having open, honest discussions with parents about vaping. So I've sort of been developing this program and this informational package for parents and teachers and schools to start understanding the issue and urging them to start having discussions with their children or the young people in their lives.
What is the issue?
Well, the issue is many. It's not single, it's plural.
Okay, so what's the main sort of thing that you're focusing on at the moment? Is it just stopping kids from vaping at schools, or is it educating kids that vape at schools?
I think the number one issue that is going to become quickly apparent is health.
Sure.
So we're still in the super early days of vaping being mainstream and being very popular. I mean, vapes have been around since essentially 2003. A Chinese scientist sort of perfected the formula on vapes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then American companies started to toy around with it. But it I would say it's only really been half a decade that vapes have been mass marketed pretty relentlessly.
They're everywhere, eh?
Yeah, suddenly.
So is that also part of the issue? Is just the sheer quantity of vaping, like the sheer number of vapes?
Yeah, I think the sheer number of vapes and the quantity with which you can do it, because it feels,
yeah, sure,
when you're vaping it certainly doesn't feel as harsh as cigarettes, and so it's really easy to binge it. It's really easy to just consistently use it throughout the day, and there's no gauge that you can measure yourself on for how much you've used it. I mean, a puff is a puff, and it's one and done. It's very quickly forgettable. A cigarette is at least a measurable unit.
And you're even talking about more than just the nicotine content, right? You're talking about the chemical content that someone's putting into their lungs. Is that right? The vaped content?
Yeah. So even the health issue is multifaceted. You have the nicotine issue, which is its own huge world of problems, especially for young people. And then you also have the heavy metals and the chemicals that are in the aerosols. So like Queensland Health at the moment, at the behest of the state premier, just finished a health study into a bunch of different e-liquids from vapes that are on the market, and found that none of them, even the ones that, all of them, even the ones that advertised that they were nicotine-free,
contain still had nicotine in them.
Yeah.
Are they finding it hard to quantify how much nicotine is in actually each vape? Is there, because I know with cigarettes, you like buy a pack of cigarettes and it's got like this many milligrams of nicotine in it. Is it more difficult to police that? Or is there something that, because it's legal to have.
Well, it's actually not legal to have, interestingly enough.
It's illegal. It's illegal, to have nicotine. So you can get through a pharmacy, right?
Yes. Well, even the pharmacy prescription thing is quite interesting. So only 7% of vapes that are being actively used were gained through a prescription. So the remaining 93% are technically illegal vapes. And the government has this thing called the self-importation scheme, where you can get a prescription from a doctor and then import whichever vape you'd like for yourself.
What?
So it's not like GPs have a registry of vapes that they can hand out like they might do with antibiotics or different prescription medicines.
Yeah, sure. It's just more willy-nilly.
Exactly. And so there's no central regulatory body that can measure before the vape is bought or before it's manufactured what's going in it, what the nicotine content is, etc.
Yeah, I was just reading like a crazy little article from Smoke Free. I don't know who the hell these guys are, but they've got some doctor called David Busby. Sounds like a cartoon character. I'm sure you're a lovely guy, David. He's from the UK. This article was talking specifically about the effects, the statistics of vaping in Australia. It's pretty crazy. Just the sheer numbers of people that are doing it, but also, so going back to school, so what was the most common or the biggest, most resounding question, I think, that you had from parents and teachers in regards to kids vaping in their schools and stuff like that?
Definitely the most common sentiment or question that's phrased in one way or another is, so what do I do? How do I talk to my kids? How do I get it to stop? How do we get it to stop? That's definitely the most common question. And unfortunately, there's no clear, easy, black and white answer to that. And so my main aim is just to educate parents as much as possible and encourage the conversations to actually start. And from there on, we can move, because it even feels like jumping ahead of ourselves a little bit to start saying, how can we stop it? Because we're not even talking about it that much. It's not in the national spotlight. The government.
Well, it's so new, isn't it?
It's so new. And it's not like you're seeing anti-vaping campaigns that the government has sponsored. It's not like you're seeing sports stars or doctors or people from the professional class in the media saying vaping is a problem.
I feel like we'll start having discussions about vaping being problems purely because the amount of vapes that are littering the streets rather than the health effects first.
Yeah.
That's my gut. Well, so people are like so pissed off with the amount of vapes that they find lying in the gutters. They'd just be like, okay, we've got to clean this guy up. Before the health, because the health effects aren't really going to come out for like another couple of decades, right?
Well, the health effects are starting now.
What are they?
Well, there are a few. So the main one that always appears in the media is popcorn lung.
What's that?
So basically vapes use this flavoring or this agent called diacetyl that's commonly found in popcorn. And when inhaled in aerosol form, it gets into the smallest airways in the lungs and inflames them and essentially makes your alveoli burst as well. And it just destroys your lungs, and it's not curable and it's not recoverable. So it just turns your lungs and the smallest airways into grey matter, essentially.
And it makes that part of your lung unusable.
Unusable. Completely unusable. And you get kids whose chest cavities collapse or who can't breathe anymore. and it's getting more and more frequent, and it's happening way faster than you might expect, because if you want to explore the health effects relative to cigarettes, you know, you might see effects from frequent cigarette smokers 15, 20 years down the track. With vapes, we're seeing it in 2-3 years.
So it's an, and the effects are accelerated.
Far accelerated. And I think it's because of the quantity of vaping that's able to happen.
Like the amount, they're just able to take more into their lungs.
Yeah, way more of the vapor itself gets into the lungs.
Huh.
And they're using it all day long. I mean, like daily. I knew kids in my class or kids in my friend group who were using it from the moment they woke up to the moment they went to bed. Yeah.
It's like cigarettes, but just different.
It's like cigarettes, but it's like a pack or two packs a day, but you don't feel it until suddenly you do.
Because of the effect, because of this popcorn lung or whatever other, what other effects people are having? What else is going on?
Well, in terms of what's happening with the heavy metals, it's kind of hard to tell at the moment. One real potential problem is formaldehyde, which is found in all the e-liquids.
So I read about this. This is one of those things. Whenever you read, or I'm talking about myself specifically. Like whenever I read these kinds of articles, this stuff contains this and this, and it's got like weed killer in it and bleach and fucking, you know, like acetone. You're like, fucking what?
Laundry detergent.
Yeah, and you're like, where are they, like literally pouring morning fresh in there, or what are they doing? And so I just want to find those things like kind of fear mongering a little bit. But I did some research into what the formaldehyde and where these chemicals are coming from, and it's a byproduct of the glycerin, glycerols and stuff like that that's actually in the vapes, right?
Exactly. So when you turn the glycerin, or there's propylene glycol and there's vegetable glycerin. When you heat those liquids, they turn into a vapor, and a byproduct of that vapor is the formaldehyde.
And then the formaldehyde is the amount of formaldehyde that you get from that chemical reaction is dependent on the temperature and the length that it's exposed to that temperature for, is it?
Yeah.
Is by what I read on the research paper, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really contain that until it actually starts being used.
Exactly. It's the problem is the delivery system. It's the vapor. Formaldehyde is classed as a class 1 human carcinogen. So we know that it's cancer causing. They use it in morgues and hospitals as a high grade disinfectant.
Yeah, and embalming and stuff like that.
It's used in embalming dead bodies to preserve them.
I read this article that this doctor read, Dr. David Busby. He talked about health benefits of vaping.
Okay, I'd love to hear this.
Vaping hasn't been studied for long enough to understand. So first of all, the sentence before that, traditional vaping... I don't know if I'm allowed to read this or whatever, but vaping death statistic. It's free. Anyone can find this.
It's on there.
Yeah, smokefreeclinic.com.au if anyone wants to look it up. Vaping Statistics Australia. Traditional smoking causes more than 20,000 deaths each year in Australia, which is a lot. That's smoking. That's not vaping. That's smoking cigarettes. In contrast, there are no known deaths directly attributable to the use of vapes, but that's probably purely because of the time frame, right? Because it's been like less than a decade or some shit.
Yep, time frame.
So vaping studies health benefits and risks. Vaping hasn't been studied for long enough to understand its long-term impacts on health. So why do they have that death statistics thing before? I don't know. High quality. I feel like this is a sales pitch. High quality NVPs, which what is that? Vape pens? Is that right?
What's the acronym?
NVP.
Oh, interesting.
So high quality NVPs prescribed by doctors and used responsibly.
Nicotine vaping product.
There you go. Something like that. Or vaping pen. Yeah. Can be used as an intervention for those struggling with pharmacological methods of smoking cessation.
Yeah.
Unregulated and poor quality vapes, however, are health hazards, as vaping statistics are proving. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess they're trying to give a balanced view of are there benefits rather than just completely fear-mongering. But the funny thing is, when you look at the statistics of people who vape to use it as a tool of smoking cessation, it's actually not that common. And what ends up happening is a lot of regular vapors all smoke cigarettes at the same time.
Well, that would be that 7%, right?
Yeah.
So like less than 1 in 10 people are using that to... Because they're obviously going to a doctor to get a prescription so they can get the nicotine-based vapes, the nicotine vapes from their pharmacy to help them get off cigarettes. So 7% of people that are vaping are the ones that are using it for...
Or at least are the ones who think, hey, let me go and get a prescription.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's got to be people that... Like, I know that the flatmate that I lived with last year, okay, we talked about, like, her and I talked about vaping because she smoked cigarettes. And we talked about her... And no, she's not the only friend as well that I have that talked about friends using vapes to get off cigarettes, but they weren't going to their doctors. They were just going to the... tobacco shop.
Exactly. It's total hood science. Like, oh, let me just pick up a vape and maybe it'll help me stop smoking. I reckon if I just buy this vape, it's going to solve my problems.
But that's what the sell for it initially was.
That's the line. That's totally the line. And that's part of the huge sort of level of disinformation surrounding the whole thing, is that this is one of the sort of unquestionably accepted things that it'll probably help you, when in reality it turns out it's actually not being used as a smoking cessation device. And when people are using it for that purpose, they're smoking cigarettes at the same time.
It's like back in the 50s, you had the articles that 7 out of 10 doctors recommended Camel cigarettes.
Yes, to pregnant women.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like, I really don't think that's a case of us knowing what we know now until we know better. I just think people know better now and they're just being idiots. They're just,
oh, well, the tobacco industry lied about it for an incredibly long time, and they knew the cancer-causing effects long before government mandated them to release it. They had all the internal studies to prove it, and that was American companies who were clearly able to be regulated by a sovereign government. These Chinese companies producing these vapes and exporting them aren't under anybody's regulatory scrutiny.
It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah, so how can we even expect the issue to be solved?
The cat's back. Yeah, I mean, so where's a good place, or where do you think people should be starting? Okay, so going back to, like, I guess, like, the local side of things rather than looking at too much of a macro lens,
mm-hmm.
Where should people be starting with this sort of thing?
Well, I think schools are a really good place to start having discussions, and making sure that schools can book experts to come in, or schools can book speakers to come in to start that discussion.
Who's the expert if it's been around for such a little amount of time?
It's the young people in the community. It's health professionals, because it's an ongoing discussion that needs to be had by everybody together. Yeah. And it's too siloed. You have the experience of young people using them. You have the experience of scared parents who don't know what to do about that. You have the experience of doctors and child psychologists and neurologists who see it come through really often, and they don't have an answer either. So everybody needs to start coming together instead of just abandoning this issue to the health system and leaving it up to schools to take punitive measures. Because what happens then is you just displace the problem from the schools, and it still happens. You know, I had friends who weren't able to vape in the bathroom, so they walked out to their car at lunch.
I mean, they're going to do it, right? We did the same thing with cigarettes at our school when I was a kid, you know what I mean? You find a way.
You find a way where there's a will. And especially because the will is reinforced by such an intensely addictive chemical.
With just the nicotine. Yeah. And probably also the act of it, right? Because it feels good and it tastes good.
Exactly. And, well, it's the concentration of nicotine, which is the interesting thing. So,
what do you mean?
Well, because in the e-liquids, you can pack way more nicotine by volume into an e-liquid than you can into a cigarette. So, you know, the big tobacco companies laced their tobacco with cigarettes and then put them in there. But vaping manufacturers can create incredible concentrations of nicotine that are far higher than you would see in traditional tobacco products, which makes it immediately far more addictive, because the amount of nicotine receptors that are activated are far higher.
That's wild, isn't it?
It's insane. It's insanity. And that's why the total lack of regulation is the huge problem.
So why going another sort of step back and going back to like what people are trying to do and trying to solve these issues, why are people talking to you about it?
Well, first of all, I think I'm one of the few young people speaking up about it and being honest to a degree about it. Not sure. That there's rife dishonesty at my year level or age group, but there's just not a very clear means to communicate it to parents, and kids obviously, of course, don't have an interest in going to their parents and talking about it and being honest, because parents freak out and schools freak out.
You're just trying to act as like the gateway between the adult and the parent, as in opening that discussion. Do you think there's like information getting lost, or there's that they're just not connecting?
Yeah, I'm trying to be an intermediary in a sense, but actually further than an intermediary, I'm trying to just push parents and children to a point where they feel like they can both have honest, non-judgmental discussions about this issue without it becoming super inflamed and without having really harsh consequences for kids who are then, if that's the case, not going to want to talk about it.
Well, you're an emotional creature when you're a teenager. It's hard to...
Totally, totally. And you're an emotional creature when you're a parent of a teenager.
Snap. So was there kids at the talk when you went to in Sydney? Was there teenagers there?
No, that was just parents and teachers, and they've now invited me back to talk to some year levels of boys.
Okay.
At that school. And now I'm starting to think about how I develop that content, because it's going to have to be a completely different approach to how I talk to parents and teachers about it.
And you vaped?
Yeah, so. I vaped for a time, and it was just at parties and at school, and it was everywhere, surrounded by it.
I mean, everyone, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's
everywhere. I don't. I used to smoke cigarettes. I've tried vapes. I can't do them. It's too much.
Too much.
I find it too difficult. I have a cigarette occasionally. And I used to smoke a lot more cigarettes when I was younger, in my 20s and late teens.
Yeah.
And then I stopped. I mean, everyone that smokes cigarettes stopped and started, probably. But I tried the vape thing. Like, I got a good friend of mine that vapes on and off, binges, I guess I would say. And I tried his like a couple of times, and I really struggle with it. it's like taking in is pretty hectic.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan. I find it quite.
The vapor is super stifling, and it's really like,
I think so.
I know the first couple of times I vaped, it was really intense, and everyone watches you and they're like, he's going to cough. And then, yeah. So everyone treats it like a bit of a practical joke.
I remember that being a thing with cigarettes as well. It was like, could you drag? Could you inhale?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, being a teenager, you were like, yeah, I can do this. And you were like, I actually remember when I was a teenager, I found this way that I could inhale the cigarette so that people knew that I wasn't just like what we would call bum puffing back then.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
not,
yeah,
not taking it.
That's right. But I used to, because I found it quite harsh in my throat to take in the cigarette smoke, I would breathe it in through, and then I'd breathe in through my nose. And just like try to dampen the effects of the harshness of the smoking. And then I just didn't get caught out for bum puffing, because you just didn't want that labeled on you, bum puffing.
No, you don't
want
to be Kieran Bum Puffer King.
It's not a great name to have it at high school.
It's a tough tag.
You don't want that tag. You don't want to be a bum puffer. It's not great. Doesn't bode well.
No. For anything. But that's also part of the appeal, is like, because it seems so inconsequential, taking a puff or a few puffs of a vape, kids are like, oh bro, like, do a trick, like, can you drag and inhale, can you, like, can you do all this shit, can you ghost it? And
ghost it.
So you take the biggest hit possible that you can and inhale it, and you hold it for long enough that no smoke comes out.
What?
Yeah,
where's it going?
All into the lungs. And wow, that's, you're getting all of it. And then with vapes, it's also the quantity thing of like, oi, let's go vape for vape until it runs out. Or can you puff it until it blinkers? Because eventually the coil gets too hot if you use it consecutively too much. So kids go, oh, puff it until the light blinks and the coil's too hot to go. And so you sit there going for like 15, 20 seconds, just...
Just punching that back.
Just punching it. And people punch it back to back to back to back. And until it just...
the coil gets, and that's where you get the those real bad chemical chain reactions happening, and you get that formaldehyde and stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're overheating the coil.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so... So intermediaries, there's high schools. So going back to trying to solve the problem at like a local level with schools and stuff like that, educating kids, that's a good start. And then where's a good place to go from there?
From there, I'm trying to watch it develop as it happens. So from there, I think consulting health professionals, talking to GPs is a good way to do it. But there are even some GPs that have said, I can't stop my kids from vaping, so I gave them cigarettes instead.
Stop it.
Yeah, that's real. And there are some parents who say, I'm going to buy vapes for my kids so they don't smoke cigarettes because I think it's better.
Well, it's a squirrely discussion, isn't it? There's no like what way do you go? Do you go left or right? Because it's going to happen.
Yeah, and because the data is so preliminary, you can, to an extent, justify these positions through the lack of data that exists.
New vaping studies show that 33% of people between the ages of 15 and 30 years old have used e-cigarettes, and 14% of those currently vape. Doesn't seem right.
I would say that's pretty conservative.
The data also found that 83% of e-cigarette users find them to be highly addictive.
Really?
Low-quality vapes such as those.
I'm so surprised.
Dangerous amounts of stuff. Yeah, we know all that sort of stuff. Man, that guy's puffing. Look at that. Oh, I can't show you. Whoa.
Let's get some footage.
You have to go. You have to go on the label, cut that shit out. Look at that.
Oh, that's a huge cloud. He's steaming. Ripped a massive one.
He's not ghosting, is he?
Not at all. He's showing it off.
Bro.
Probably smells like sweet apple.
There's like a picture on this smoke-free clinic thing. There's this dude. I mean, you see it all the time, eh? Like when you're driving your car, you're walking down the streets, these gangsters and people. And they're just the massive plumes.
I was on the highway the other day and it's just like billowing out of this car of four people vaping. And I was like, holy moly.
That's wild. How are
you even driving?
How do you even see? It's next level hotboxing.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, 30% of people with age between 14 and 17 years old engage in the activity. I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean? That's such a vague term. Engage.
I also think this is something I also want to talk to. Like, remember we were sitting down talking, and there was a term that was coined, and you were like, I don't think that's something that you want to call Generation Vape.
Generation Vape, because the Cancer Council is doing studies about vaping, and they're calling it. The name of the study is Generation Vape, which I just think sends a little bit of a counterintuitive message.
It's a little bit undermining, isn't it?
A little bit undermining, a little bit condescending, and a little bit defeatist. Because it's like, oh, well, we haven't done anything to solve this problem. Here's this Generation Vape. These kids are Generation Vape. And it's like, okay, well, what have you actually done in terms of policy or in terms of regulation to ensure that that's not the case?
I feel like they've just given it that name as like an attention grabber.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah, man, they just want people to read it or people to learn about it or people to talk about it. So we'll call it Generation Vape because it's got a great tagline. It rolls off the tongue great.
It rolls off the tongue. It's a great fear-mongering thing. It's great if you want to get on Sunrise or Channel 10 and go Generation Vape.
Yeah, it's a great headline.
Yeah,
I'm not particularly excited if I'm from that age pool, though.
No.
I'm a little bit pissed.
I don't feel good about it. It's like bum puffer, but wow.
I'm bum puff generation.
I'm Generation Vape, generation, dude.
Bro.
Fight me. Mine's ours.
They'll see that in the scholarly books. They'll look back in 1,000 years and look at our different generations. Not think about that.
Gen Vape. When the collective oxygen capacity of this generation went down by 20%.
And so how are the kids getting vapes? If there's so many of them.
Yeah. Well, I would say the most popular route via social media is Snapchat.
They're getting them through Snapchat.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you get a vape through Snapchat?
Because there are local people in most areas who have taken it upon themselves to import vapes and to then sell them at a markup. and it's pretty entrepreneurial. It's like this whole black market ecosystem has evolved, and Snapchat is a free form of communication with the market, and it spreads through word of mouth. So there's even a local vape dealer here in Byron who has a Snapchat page, and everybody knows it, and everybody goes and meets them in person, and they respond very quickly, and you can see what flavors they have, and you can barter on price, and then you go and meet them same day, and you pick it up.
You buy as many as you want.
Pardon?
You buy as many as you want.
Flavors. Yeah, you can buy as many as you want. And that's they'll give you a discount if you buy more. And it's, yeah, it's really easy.
So how do they, how do people stop that? How do you stop that? How do you tackle that sort of problem? That's like...
Yeah, well, at an import level, it's logistically tricky. I mean, if you can't stop cocaine getting into the country, I don't know how you're going to stop a vape. Apart from having an interesting package from Beijing turn up at the door and, you know, noticing.
It's either cocaine or it's vape. It's one of the two.
Exactly.
All right.
And, you know, from an enforcement perspective, the police don't really have much power in that respect. So the laws that are on the books currently...
Yeah.
At least in the Northern Territory and New South Wales, if you're in possession of a vape illegally, so that means if you're under 18 or if you don't have a prescription, then it's a fine and up to 12 months imprisonment. And in Victoria, I believe it's a $40,000 fine and up to 12 months imprisonment.
Whoa!
Yeah.
To get caught with the vape?
Yeah, to get caught in possession of a vape. But
so it's up to 40 grand. I'm guessing that would be like for someone that's the local dealer, right? They're like, okay, this gangster's got like a box of vapes. You know what I mean? We caught this gangster with a box of vapes. We're going to like slap him with a 40 grand fine and chuck him in some community service or something like that. That would be aimed at that kind of person, right? Not at just...
You'd think that it would be that concerted of an effort, but you're giving the regulatory bodies too much... merit there. Actually, it's not happening like that at all. It's not like they're dealt with like drug dealers. I mean, the reason it's so appealing is because the likelihood of getting caught is so small. And yeah, if you arrest somebody for that or try and impose that fine, then you have to go to court, you clog up the court system, you have to prove beyond reasonable doubt. Suddenly the waters get very muddy and it's way more difficult to enforce than just simply slapping a fine on somebody.
So do you think there comes a point where they're going to have to concede to a degree that the vapes, like they're here, right? They're not going anywhere.
Oh, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And banning these kinds of things never works.
No.
Yeah, the prohibition kind of stuff never works.
It'll push it all further underground than it already is.
Well, yeah, exactly. They're going to keep bringing, people are just going to keep bringing stuff in. So... The key, because you know in New Zealand, I think if you were born, if you turned 18 last year, or effectively they're making it illegal to have cigarettes.
You can't buy cigarettes. That's incredible.
I'm not a massive fan of it, but I mean, I'm just not a massive fan of it. I think people should be adult. You know, like I don't like the idea of a government deciding what's good for me or not, you know what I mean? Like, I think I can educate myself on what's good or not, but I think that it feels like they're just taking it upon themselves because people aren't educating themselves, or they're trying to stop the health funnel that's going to end up happening in the next few decades with hospitals and all these problems that people are going to have, these associated diseases.
Yeah.
They're just trying to control that, I guess. Do you think something like that, do you see something like that happening here in Australia? Or do you think...
In terms of vapes?
Yeah, in terms of vapes or even cigarettes. Do you think something like that, in your opinion, is going to end up... Do you think that's going to work?
I don't necessarily think that it's a cure-all. And I think that part of the appeal of that sort of approach is that it's way cheaper than funding a bunch of community outreach and funding really time-consuming community education, which, in terms of tobacco, with the plain packaging laws and the television ads, etc., has been going on for a long time, that sort of education. and smoking rates are going down. And in Australia, the government has committed to raising the tax on cigarettes by 5% every year for the next 3 years.
And that's working.
Well, it certainly seems to have the number of smokers declining, or it did, until vapes came back.
Yeah.
And now the rates of youth tobacco smoking are soaring.
Well, that was one of the things in a couple of the articles that I read, the reasons why people started smoking vapes versus cigarettes, because of the price.
Yeah. Yeah. And the value for money when you think about
it's massive value for money, isn't it?
Yeah, when you think about the concentration of nicotine.
So do you think there's more like legislation that needs to happen to make them safer, or are they just, is that a dead end?
It's,
we just don't know enough, or?
Well, the thing is, nobody is manufacturing the vapes in Australia, or very few people. So it's outside of our regulatory jurisdiction to go to the Chinese government and say, hey, can you impose standards on the manufacturing of vapes so that they don't have radioactive chemical materials in them?
Yeah, but if we open up the market, right, say they open up the market to say, okay, vaping is no longer illegal, you no longer need a prescription to vape. But to buy, it's, you can buy a vape, but they set the, you know, Therapeutical Goods of Australia sets their guidelines of what they consider to be safe for vapes coming in. So the vapes that you can buy over the counter are within the frameworks of what they believe is safe, so that they have some measurable amount of nicotine and all the other chemicals that are in there. They know what's in there, like what they did with cigarettes.
Yeah, so then you have a state-sanctioned vape manufacturing industry that is highly regulated, but I don't know how effective that switch would be, because I think the economics of it wouldn't make sense for people.
How do you mean?
Well, when you're bulk buying a vape from China or from a Chinese wholesaler, you can buy them for as little as $3.50 a vape. And the markup is, you know, 1,000%.
So are the people paying like $30 a vape?
30, 35, 40. And I don't necessarily think that the economics would work in the same way in this country. Because if you think about the fact that the wholesalers are selling it for $3.50, think about how little it costs to manufacture it.
Yeah, it's nothing.
It must be nothing. And I just don't... I think that that sort of industry in Australia would suffer from the already existing regulatory trappings that exist around transporting products, around GST. I just think nobody would bother, because you can still get in... You know, even if the government really cracks down on importation...
Sure.
And you lose 50% of each vape shipment that you send in, you're still going to be making a pretty hefty margin.
Because of the markup that you'll be paying at a tobacco store for the legal vape, which is going to end up being probably a little bit less than what a tobacco pouch would be, or a pack of cigarettes is going to be.
I think so.
The gaps is going to end up being, the margin for the profits is going to be.
It's going to be far less. And so people won't bother undertaking that endeavor, because the financial incentive is far less.
Okay, so where do people go from there then? So that, you know, like the vape thing being a problem, and sanctioning these things, or trying to control the market from a therapeutic perspective or from a pharmaceutical perspective is not economically makes sense. Where do people go from that? Like, what's a solution? Just is it just purely just education?
Well, the preliminary studies are also showing that there's an inverse correlation between the rate of youth vaping and the level of education around addiction specifically.
What do you mean by that?
So that the more educated people are about the nature of addictive substances, and nicotine and vapes in particular, the less they vape,
okay,
according to the studies.
Where was that study?
That was a study through Queensland Health. And see if you can find it.
Bro, I'm tired.
Otherwise I can link it.
Okay, just hit me up with a hot link.
Yeah.
Because I'll post all these things. Like, if there's another thing, like, I'll try to hot link things into the description, so if people want to look it up.
Yeah, that'd be good.
You know what I mean? Like, just rather than just like, you know, a couple of couple of dudes with some woolen meat sockets talking about this. And, put the facts in there. God, I'm so sick and tired of listening to TV shows or radio shows or interviews about people on TV, and they're just talking stuff. And he's like, "Where's the bloody facts, mate? Show me your, you know."
Yeah.
Anyway, what am I looking up? Queensland Health study on
vapes
and education.
See what that gets you.
A study conducted to educate the public about the ingredients of vapes has found a staggering amount of nicotine in heavy metal. Now, it's the same. Sky News, trust it.
Oh, God. Reputable.
It's all reputable, bro. Okay. Yeah, okay, I think I found it. 12. Yeah. All right, I'll put all these links. I've saved all these pages up and stuff like that. So I'll put all these links into the description when I post it.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And I think then, you know, because what I'm trying to do is draw all the disparate information that exists from studies about the health effects, from studies about the effects on individuals and communities. I'm trying to draw it all together and create one,
like a pool one of picture that people can come to. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is it working so far? Obviously, well, yeah, you're being charted around.
Yeah,
come have a chat.
It's worked in the sense that I feel like I can present a picture of the landscape to parents that educates them far more than they would be able to quickly by themselves trying to navigate what's what.
What's the biggest thing you've learned so far doing this?
Giving the talks? Well, I think the biggest thing I've learned so far is how wide the gulf is, and it's much wider than I expected, between the experiences of young people and the understanding that their elders have of that experience.
How do you mean?
Well, in terms of the perceptions of these activities, you know, a lot of young people have, and it's a cultural thing, it's a generational cultural thing, so young people understand it in a very different way, not necessarily a more complete way, but a very different way to how adults understand it. So young people aren't necessarily as worried about the health effects.
Oh, you mean like how they understand the education or how they understand the messages?
How they understand the experience as a broader cultural phenomenon and how cognizant they are of it, if you know what I mean. Like, parents generally stay within parent groups and they talk to each other, and it's a very siloed, insular pool of discussion and information.
Becomes
and,
a bubble.
Yeah, and kids live in their own bubble. And so these two really insulated realms, if they're not interacting, then I don't think you find a solution.
So what's the thing? What were the perceptions that the parents had on the children that you considered to be like, you know, that were gulfed?
In terms of information that I don't think parents had, I don't think they had an accurate understanding of how many kids are vaping, whether their kids are vaping, and what the health effects are, what the nicotine concentration is.
Mm.
Like, the understanding of what is a vape and what's in a vape isn't really even there. And I would say maybe young people actually understand that better than the parents do. How at this so? Point.
Because they're the ones doing it.
Because they're the ones doing it, and they hear about the chemicals that are in vapes, and they hear about the heavy metals and the nicotine. Some parents, my own mum didn't know that vapes were a nicotine thing. You know, she was like, "What's the rage with vaping? Why are all these kids vaping?" And I was like, "Well,
it tastes like cherry cola."
Yeah, it's just really yummy.
That's amazing. But it's, I mean, that like I mean, it's not my world. I don't really understand any of it. You know what I mean? From my perspective, I just see one. I think the thing that shocked me the most, like from my first experiences with vapes, the thing that like really like personal perspective, was just the amount of stuff that people breathe out. Like when they take in the hit, I remember having a genuine jaw drop moment. I was like, oh, Holy shit, there's a lot. How'd they get all that in there?
Yeah, they pack it in, don't they?
It it's looks a total like mushroom. What's plant. How much your capacity? Like, is it seeping down into your thighs? Like, what's it doing?
It's pulling at the feet and from the feet.
Where are they putting it all? And I could never understand that. I like, you the watch lungs someone are big, like, man. That's so big. So yeah. many liters.
The lungs can hold so much.
What's the literage capacity of a lung?
Let's go. Let's Come find on. It.
Liter capacity of a calculator.
And it depends on the density of the vapor as well.
About 6 liters.
Yeah.
Average lung. That's huge. Per lung.
So you double stack those, you're up to 12.
I wonder if people can do one lung and then the other. I wonder if people get in that trick.
Fill the left lung and be slightly off balance.
Can you ghost the left lung and then like highlight the right lung?
I'm just keeping one good lung as a spare.
What is 4.5 liters? Okay. So but that was the thing that I found the most like... Just from a personal, just like the sheer quantity of stuff that looked like that was coming out of someone's lungs when they exhaled. I was like, yeah. That is a wild amount.
Yeah. And all of that contains traces of metals like zinc, traces of formaldehyde, arsenic. Queensland Health is testing them for polonium, which is a radioactive material that was used to poison a Russian FSB spy in 2006.
It would be like a pretty small amount.
Yeah.
And it's still in there, right?
They put it in his green tea.
They what?
They put it in his green tea and he drank
Oh,
it.
They put the Russians?
The polonium, yeah.
In his green tea?
Yeah.
When was that?
2006.
What? Oh, I think I read about it. Was that here?
It was in London.
London. What the hell?
Yeah. And it exists in trace amounts in the world, but it's very rarely naturally occurring.
So it does naturally occur. It's not like
it does naturally occur. But it's in tobacco as well.
All tobacco?
Yeah, when they started doing studies of pouches of tobacco, I'm not going to say all tobacco, but the reason they're testing the vapes for it is because you can find it in traditional tobacco products.
Damn, it's everywhere, isn't
it? Because 2 packs of cigarettes, according to Queensland Health again, is equivalent to about 2 pack, is equivalent to 1 chest x-ray worth of radiation.
Oh, right, just because the amount of...
Of radioactive substances Whoa. Like polonium.
Hectic.
Yeah. So, you know, two packs of cigarettes a week is like a chest x-ray a week in terms of radiation.
Do you know what I find the most amazing about all of this? It's just how resilient human beings are.
Yes.
Just the amount of shit that we pump into, like, not just like... It's cigarettes or e-cigarettes, but like fucking alcohol and drugs and sugar and salt.
Everything.
And people live in cities, man.
It seems like we're relentlessly poisoning ourselves, right?
But we live. Like people are living to like 70 years, 80 years, depending on what country you come from or where you are. Or like people grow up in cities and live full lives.
Yeah.
It's wild that I think about that.
And so it's like, health standards have improved heaps because we've got longer lifespans, but we're living more and more of it in chronic sickness from all these particles and chemicals and pollution.
Just the sheer amount of shit that we're breathing in or consuming. I think for me, that's the thing that I look at. I'm like, man, that is like just how incredible we are as a species that we can just withstand that constant... barrage of just crap that goes into
and our cells just regenerate.
They're like, I got this,
bro.
I mean, I got a popcorn thing going on down here, and my liver looks like God knows Swiss cheese
or
something.
It looks like a grey sock,
but, like my microphone. Yeah. This is really appalling. I got to pick up my game. This is like I wouldn't interview the. Well, I can't interview the.
I think it's endearing. I think it's
very endearing. I don't know, bro. I wouldn't take this thing everywhere.
And it matches your sweater.
Oh yeah. I didn't think about that. Thanks, man. Alpaca and merino. But that, I think that's... I really find that, like, completely remarkable, just how resilient we are as a race, just how, like, incredible... It's how much stuff we take on.
Yeah. And you know what I read today that's incredible?
Go on.
Only 1% of people in China live with an air quality that coincides with... the European minimum air safety rating. Only 1%. So 99% of people in China are living with air pollution that is below what the European Union would deem safe.
But that's, I mean, not just highlighting Chinese people, that's got to be a pretty big statistic globally though, right? Like, what population of people live in cities?
In China?
In the world.
In the world? 70?
70%?
Roughly.
Is there a population of people in cities?
Maybe it's 65.
Cities global? I can't spell. I'm so dyslexic. Cities globally. I spelled cities. This. I spelled cities with an equal sign.
It's going to get us straight to the statistics, straight to the
marks. Okay. 56% of the world's population live in cities.
Oh, okay. Much less than I thought.
4.4 billion people.
Okay.
Whoa, that's half? 4.4 billion people? That doesn't make sense. That would mean there's nearly 9 billion people in the world.
I think we just hit 8 billion. But it's 56%, right? So
yeah, just over half.
Yeah.
So I just think, which is nearly 7 out of 10 people live in, at which point? It is currently, I think, by 2050, roughly 7 out of 10 people are going to be living in cities, which makes sense. Study done by the World Bank.
Okay.
Like,
casting
those buildings. Who's building the bloody buildings? Who's putting up the buildings, World Bank? Hey, who's doing that? Who's funding that, World Bank? Trust these statistics. I don't know, man. Tokyo, population 37 million. That's a pretty crazy thing. And just the amount of food as well that we consume. Do you know, it's the first time in history that people have died from overeating.
Yeah. Suddenly obesity is the problem.
It was like famine before that. Now it's like, and I'm not totally not discounting like third world countries or the places around the world, people are dying because they, you know, they're not getting enough food. But at the other end of the spectrum is people dying because they eat too much.
Well, don't you think it's ridiculous that that contrast exists? That can coexist? That we can have people dying from overeating and at the same time from starvation?
That's the world that we live in, though.
Yeah.
That's the pole. You know, like, that's the polarity of it. That's our spectrum.
Yeah.
And we live within that somewhere. That's wild. I think that's wild.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, how do we push these extremes closer together?
I don't know. I don't have an answer. That's such a big problem.
Come on.
I don't feel good for insects right now. I think we're coming for insects next. We're coming for them next. They're next on our hit list.
The buzzbees.
Mosquitoes. We're trying to get rid of those guys. And next is the insects. We'll head down because they've got such high protein level in them. And the insects.
Oh, you think we're going to be eating them?
Bro, no time. No time. It's going to happen. Soon we'll be getting little sludge bars. People know. Have you eaten insects?
No, I don't think I've ever eaten an insect, actually.
I've had crickets. Not bad.
How is that?
It's like tea.
Crunchy, I imagine. Like crunchy. Tea.
It tastes like black tea.
It was like quite aromatic.
It was. It had like a, you know, like a dry husky kind of scent to it, but the flavor was like tea. Like it was a dried, it wasn't roasted.
Very specifically.
Yeah, it was dried. They were dried out dehydrated crickets. And I had like a handful of them. It was tea.
Did they season them with anything? Or are you getting
Like the lady in the shop even had tarantula, like chocolate covered tarantula.
Chocolate? Mm-hmm. What kind of a pairing is that?
I thought it was fantastic, to be honest.
You did it.
I ate it, yeah. It cost me like $10 for the tarantula. It's probably cheaper to buy the. It's probably more expensive to buy the tarantula at the pet store. Put it in the dehydrator and then
chocolate dip it and eat it.
Fondue it. Fondue my tarantula. I ate it. It was wild.
Yeah, why'd you do that?
Because it was available. It was there, and I was like, oh,
but wow.
And you know, New Zealand.
Huh.
Yeah, I know, right? That's where I ate it. But you can buy, like, I think in some Asian countries, I'm pretty sure people talk about you can. Yeah, you lived in Singapore, right?
Yeah, in Singapore, and I've been to Hong Kong a couple times. Chicken feet is a pretty popular dish in Hong Kong.
I can't do it. I'm not going to do it.
Chicken feet's intense.
Why? What's it like?
It's just, I don't know, it's quite weirdly presented. I don't even know how they prepare it. I don't really know how they prepare it, but it's quite crunchy and it's just like.
Is the talon on it still?
No, I think they take the nail off as far as I'm concerned.
Brutal, yeah.
Yeah. They just completely dismember it.
And it was deep fried.
Yeah.
You just
Yes.
How was it?
It was yummy. It tastes like chicken.
Okay, well, I guess it would, right? It's strong. Just the foot.
Yeah.
Is that a foot? The foot. The foot of the chicken? Is it a foot? It's not a hoof. It's a foot. I guess
it's a foot. It's not a claw.
It's a foot, I guess. Foot. Yeah, we're pretty amazing creatures, bro.
Yeah, the things we do.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Okay, so I guess going forward, sort of getting away from the rubbish that we're talking that doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Going forward, I think what kind of advice is it that you sort of need to impart, that you feel you need to impart on people that might be listening?
Well, I think it kind of depends on the age range, but one thing that I think is universal and that applies to everybody is start having conversations about it now.
The vaping.
Yeah. Yeah. Start having conversations with the young people in your lives. If you're a young person, start having conversations with the older people in your lives about it. If you're in a professional group of people, if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, if you're a sports star, you need to be reaching into all these different facets of society and bring them together to tackle it as one group rather than leaving it disparate and being afraid of the discussion or being incredibly paranoid about the effects of vaping is not going to get anybody far. So everybody just needs to come from a space that is non-judgmental, that is not going to freak out at the prospect of having a difficult conversation. And it's not always an easy conversation.
From both sides, right?
Yeah, from both sides. It's confronting as a parent to realize that your kid is vaping and you maybe didn't necessarily notice, or you don't know what it is or what it means. And as a young kid, you're rebelling or you want that element of independence, and vaping gives you to that on a silver platter.
Because it's available as well.
Yeah, because it's so available, and yet it's such an individual pursuit that you don't need permission from a parent to do, or you don't need to do it through them at all.
Education always wins,
in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I totally concur. There's no, like, this is, I don't see any argument. Yeah, there's nothing. I've got nothing for that. I've got nothing for that argument.
So, you know, I'm going to continue to write articles as as more and more information appears, and as I give more talks and chat to more parents and teachers about what they're saying and how it affects their field. And I'm going to be publishing those on the website safeonsocial.com.
Is that where you were found?
Yep, so you can find me there. You can find a blog there where articles of mine will be published.
Sure. When are they out now, or are they coming soon?
There is one up there now.
I see.
And there are a few coming soon.
Okay, cool. And that's just and Instagram, that sort of stuff?
I don't really have a work-related Instagram.
Great.
It's pretty personal.
Keep that stuff private. It's too easy to find people these days.
Yeah, you don't need to be out there.
No, you don't. No, stop. Yeah, everyone just put privacy on their Instagram. Stop being so damn open.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need to see your bread pictures or your bread and olive oil and balsamic vinegar.
I've got a little bit of bread envy going on right now, so I don't really want to talk about that.
Oh, we've got a loaf sitting right there.
I know, but it's just a bread machine loaf. I've been having this crazy problems at the moment since I moved up here. Like, I cannot make a loaf of bread to save myself, and it's killing me. So I
think you're really self-critical. I think you need to take a few steps back.
I just find it, like, for me personally, I see the making staple, the staple of making a bread is almost a necessity, because it's such a basic thing to make. And here I am without the bread machine, really struggling. I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it out. The mixture, the water content, I'm just like, what's going on? Bread machine. And it's making loaves, and I'm not proud of it.
It feel like cheating in a sense?
It feels like cheating. Yeah, I feel like I'm the cheating. Artisan
you want to be.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just putting the ingredients into a bucket, and then putting the bucket into a bigger bucket, closing the lid on that bucket, plugging it into a wall, and then just leaving it, like, leaving that giant, whatever the hell that thing is.
That Panasonic bread maker. That's Panasonic, I thought. I didn't realize.
Bro, Panasonic does so much stuff.
Yeah, right.
And then I'm getting these, 2 hours or 4 hours later, I'm getting these pristine criminally loaves. Good.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have a piece now, actually.
You should. The cheese is out as well, I think.
It's oh, well, you're just, it's begging me too, isn't it?
Bro, thank you so much for jumping on. I'm glad that I got you on.
Thank you for hosting.
You're so welcome. I hope that you got something out of this because I think you should start a podcast as well. You're an interesting dude and I think you do really well.
Yeah, and I'd love to hop back on here for more chats.
In 10 years and see what the health effects of
vaping is. Yes.
Living in cities
of dumb people. See how it's developed.
Yeah. All right, brother love. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Garrett.
Cut up.